You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to a... What day is this, Sue? Can you confirm the day
for me? It is Tuesday.
Like I said, welcome to a Tuesday edition of the show. I think I'm still a little confused on the days and what's happening here, but it is Tuesday, a pretty nice day. I think it's starting to heat up. I think we're going to hit close to 90 here in a couple of days. But, you know, summer is just around the corner. I cannot believe, and maybe this is because of the trip, cannot believe that Memorial Day weekend is almost, well, I mean, it's a little less than 2 weeks away, but... it's like next weekend, right?
Is it next weekend or is it the one after? Now you're panicking.
Two.
Me.
It's two away.
Okay.
Still.
But
or like
from
a week
Sunday,
and a half now.
Yeah. But from Sunday, it would be.
Yeah, from this Sunday.
Oh, a week basically away. That's what I'm fast forwarding because,
yes.
Like, if you go to the 23rd, which is next Friday, that's Alexa's last day at school. So I mark some of these things, which I think seems early. I wish they'd keep me in there like. When can we get to that year-round school thing?
Didn't we stay till June? I feel like we did.
Yeah, absolutely
we did.
And there was no air conditioning, Ethan. This is us going to... Okay, yeah, we had to walk a mile to school bare feet.
We also, I mean, in fairness, we started after Labor Day.
True.
Right?
We started later and went later.
Right. Yeah, that's why we're all so much smarter
that's
than this
right.
generation, right? So I'm not even prepared for that. I'm not prepared for summer with a 10-year-old going on 15 or 18 or whatever the hell she's doing right now. But yeah, this month and this spring is kind of, you know, getting away from us. I don't know if you guys have these markers, but, you know, there's people that I try to keep in contact with on a regular basis. And a couple of times in the last few weeks, I've said to myself, man, I think it's been, you know, since October or September, and then you start on November, December, January, February, March. That's like 6 months.
Yeah.
So it does go very, very quickly. Let's see here. Where should we start? Because we got a bunch going on here today. Kara Spencer sort of responded on our sister station.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I'll play you that here in a second.
Oh.
Kit Bond has passed away at the age of 86. He was a longtime senator, four-term senator. He was governor of the state. Long political history, Kit Bond, in this state. He had, you know, I had well, it wasn't lunch. I went to a basketball game with former Congressman Kenny Hulshoff about 2 months ago in February. And he worked in Kit Bond's law firm and organization. And Kenny was telling me, because we would talk about Kit every once in a while, that he wasn't really doing so great. He was 86 years old. His health had not been in, you know, the sharpest situation here in the last few months in particular. So this is maybe one of those blessings and not a surprise, if you will. But this guy, you know, was the consummate public servant, I think, if you want to say that. And I got to know him. You know, this is interesting, too, because I was telling Ethan this story. I was a senior at the University of Missouri in 1986. I graduated in December of 1986. And there was a huge, and Fred, you probably remember this, huge Senate campaign. It became, I think, a national focus because Harriet Woods, who I believe was the lieutenant governor at the time, is that possible? She ran for the Senate in a, you know, in a race with Kit Bond. And that was his first race for Senate. And I was appointed, there were two of us back in the day at the J School. I remember my my news director, John Quarter, who said, and I was very, you know, very interested in covering this race. There was a time in my life that I thought I was going to move to Des Moines, Iowa.
What?
Yeah, because of the politics. Because I loved, you know, my even when I did music radio, and I did music radio to a certain extent up until 1990, I was sort of on the news side of that. But I always wanted to cover politics. So for me, when that Senate race came around, I'm like, this is a big deal. And if you go to a television station these days or even at the university, they all, it's very easy for them to go live, right? You can go park down the street. You can go however many miles away, and they send the signal back to the station. That's just like a given. Well, back then, you couldn't do that. And like some television stations didn't have live trucks or anything like that. So I remember getting pulled into my news director's office, and he knew my politics at the time because I was a Reagan conservative. I had Missouri is Reagan Bush, you know, country signs on my apartment door. I had bumper stickers and stuff like that. I did not make it any kind of secret where I was, but I still felt like I reported accurately. But he didn't want me covering Kit's campaign. He wanted me covering Harriet Wood's campaign because he thought that would be more fair. But I got to know Kit over that period in the mid-80s, I would say, and in the 90s, in the early 90s in particular, because I was a news director at KFRU, I would see him, and he'd always, Fred, you got to know him pretty well, too, because he was always a very gregarious guy. Now, he could be stern as well, and, you know, here, this is a good example here. We have some audio this afternoon, because when he got out of the Senate, and that is when Roy Blunt got in, right, Fred, if I'm doing the math right, he said this.
1973, I became Missouri's youngest governor. I do not aspire to become Missouri's oldest senator.
Yeah, and that kind of speaks volumes right there. It kind of says a lot if you know Kit Bond or if you knew a little bit about him. One of the things I think people knew in this state is he loved to bring pork to the state. Now, he wouldn't really call it pork. I think that in fairness, you know, we're in this period right now where we want to slice government waste out of the equation. On the other hand, we've had a couple of situations here recently where Senator Schmidt has been in vital to getting some money for Boeing. I even saw, and I'll have to give credit where credit is due, I don't know everything about this, but Wesley Bell had some money that came into the state. That's something Cori Bush never did at all. So you can kind of have these debates over whether something was pork, whether it was wasteful spending, whether it was something that Missouri needed. And he brought a lot of things to Missouri that were needed and that wouldn't have been accomplished without him. It was a different time in politics. There was no doubt about that. But he was a very successful, you know, ambassador. He was a very successful, I would say he reformed the Republican Party. Ann Wagner sent me a statement today. She had a lot of great things to say about Kit Bond because she was, of course, the chair of the state GOP and I think a bit of a mentor. Kit was a bit of a mentor for Ann and for a lot of people. So a lot of people are sharing memories. Governor Kehoe issued a statement saying Kit Bond was a skilled statesman, public servant, and a man who truly loved Missouri. He was kind of a Missouri guy, if you will. I am blessed to have known Kit and honored to call him as a friend and mentor. Kit, always with his trademark smile and sense of humor, was a fierce advocate for Missouri throughout his accomplished 40-year career of public service. Kit kept Missouri's interests at heart, both in office and out, making our state a better place to live, work, and raise a family. I agree with that. I agree with what the governor said there. And he always said, you know, when he was thanked for his service, serving the people of Missouri was the honor of my life. I remember him, hey, Mark, how you doing? The last time I think I saw him was at a football game at Mizzou several years ago. It probably goes back, sadly, about 10 years. And going back to the debate, I'm going to have to see if I can dig this up because the day after the debate in 1986, I can't remember exactly where it was. I'm not even so sure it wasn't in Kansas City, but you know, I think he might have been here at Wash U. But anyway, there was a picture of Harriet Woods and Kit Bond at the lectern the following day on, I think it was the front page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And in the background, you saw this really dweeby kid with, I think, a pretty bad haircut at the time, carrying equipment. And it was me. There were three people that were in the shot.
Wow.
It was Kit Bond and Harriet Woods, and then me kind of in the background. So my mom and dad, they may not even remember this. They, my dad probably was the instigator of this, took that picture. Maybe he even called the Post-Dispatch. I'll have to ask him tonight. And they got a copy of the picture, like an 8x10 copy of the picture. And they framed it for me. So it was like...
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so I have that somewhere in my... I remember telling Kit that story, certainly, over the years. I have that somewhere in my basement that's probably packed away and locked away in a storage bin.
One of the things I remember about Kit Bond is that when he became a Missouri senator, he was still such a big Cardinal fan that he told me he would go sit on the parking lot of the Senate parking building, you know, the Capitol building, and turn on KMOX radio. And that's the only place he could hear the game. And he would listen to the Cardinals game at the parking lot of the Senate
that's
office
pretty
building.
Funny. Yeah.
So you could hear what was going on.
Hey, do you have a traffic note?
I do.
Okay, I kind of sense that.
Thank you. Eastbound 6440 is completely shut down just past Lindbergh. This is an accident involving a tractor trailer that looks like it's hauling coffee and a silver vehicle. So all lanes are closed eastbound 6440 near Lindbergh. And I'll put this up at Susan 6768 on X. But yeah, avoid that. It's bad.
All right. Well, you know, the Cardinals, there's a lot of things going on here this afternoon. I want Ethan to share the news that he just showed me. This is kind of interesting. Maybe not completely unanticipated because he's passed away, but there's Pete Rose news this afternoon. Fred, you don't even know this, do you?
I don't know this.
Listen to this.
I anticipated it.
Yeah, right.
This came out within the last 15 minutes. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, has reinstated Pete Rose as well as Shoeless Joe Jackson and all those guys from that 1919 Black Sox team. All of them no longer banned from Major League Baseball.
Wow.
Well,
I'm not too surprised
no.
by that
because
I know,
Pete passed.
And I know that the commissioner had a meeting with President Trump a few weeks ago, and ever since then, he said they talked about that, and he said he was reconsidering what he was going to do.
You know, that did you ever watch the documentary that came out last year? It came out before he died, and I can't remember when Pete Rose passed away. Was it last year? Was it the year
before?
No, it was pretty recent.
It was very recent.
Right.
I think it was the beginning of this year.
It might have been. See, that's how my brain is working right now. But, you know, I think that the documentary that was out painted an accurate portrait of a guy.
Last September.
Okay. It painted... Google the name of the documentary because I want to share that because it painted the portrait of a guy that was an amazing, amazing baseball player and a hitter. And, you know, that's why they call him Charlie Hustle. Remember, Fred, when he passed away, we had my friend Bill Michaels,
yeah,
who's up in Wisconsin, and he told a great story of the aftermath of a devastating World Series game where they lost. And he came in and told Sparky, you know, he's smiling at Sparky Anderson. Sparky's like, what are you smiling about? We lost. He goes, man, it's baseball. It doesn't matter. We're going to win tomorrow. He just had that positive attitude. But it also painted the portrait of a very troubled guy, you know,
Charlie,
very, very troubled guy.
Charlie Hustle and the Matter of Pete Rose.
And that is, what does it say that's on? What
streaming service? 4-part HBO docuseries.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. It is worth watching if you're just a baseball fan. You don't have to be a fan of Pete Rose. If you're a baseball fan, you know the history. And the history justifies, you know, an entrance into the Hall of Fame. Now, what Major League Baseball has always said, and this is where maybe I'm a little confused on what Manfred did, is they would always say, look, it's not us that's keeping him out. It's the Hall and their rules. So I don't know why it's so difficult to have, and I think they do, to a certain extent, have something in the Hall of Fame. Fred, have you been there to Cooperstown?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, did they have anything?
You know, I don't remember.
Okay, I thought they had something, but, you know, people over the years have said, well, maybe there should be an asterisk.
I'm wondering if perhaps this is just the first step in getting the Hall of Fame to adjust their view of them, because Major League Baseball and the National Baseball Hall of Fame, while they're connected in some ways, obviously, they are
still
not
separate.
Under the same entity.
Right, exactly.
So this is the MLB saying, we're lifting these bans. Perhaps it puts the pressure on the Hall of Fame to
the
follow.
The Veterans Committee
yeah,
to reconsider.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
And that was Bob Nightingale who's reporting that this afternoon?
That was the one that that's the one that I saw right there. But I mean, everyone's throwing that out there.
Okay, on the topic of baseball, I got a lot of politics. We're going to talk politics. Selena Zito, who canceled yesterday, is going to be with us. She just had a scheduling conflict. We're going to talk about some things that are happening, certainly with Trump, but also John Fetterman, because Selena's in Pennsylvania. You had the New Yorker piece from last week, and you have a lot of people in Pennsylvania, Democrats, who are ready to throw him under the bus already. So I have that coming up. It is Telephone Tuesdays. We're going to toss open the phone lines in the next hour and talk to folks. We have Scott Fawn coming up this afternoon with some memories of Senator Kit Bond. I didn't even see, when you hear some of this trans athlete stuff that I'm going to share this afternoon, I didn't get to it yesterday. Olivia Krolchek will be here, who is with the Riley Gaines Center. And then also, George Rosenthal this afternoon, right?
Love George.
But Fred and Ethan and Sue, how many games have the Cardinals won now?
Nine in a row.
Count them up, baby. Nine in a row.
So we've had, and Ethan, I'm going to have you set this up a little bit because you're the one that introduced it to me in the first place. John Gruden has been just raving about the Cardinals, right? He was kind of on the Blues train before the Blues lost. He was rooting for the Blues, but he's also doing this for the Cardinals.
I tell you what, it almost feels like a broken record because he's put out like six or seven videos about St. Louis sports teams in the past few weeks, but he does these segments for Barstool Sports where he talks about a player or a team that's getting him fired up right now. He calls it feeling nicey.
Feeling nicey, but he's really feeling nicey about St. Louis.
Now, my dad used to coach running backs at Indiana University for Lee Corso. Then he got a job coaching running backs at Notre Dame. Then he got a job coaching running backs at Tampa Bay. And in the summertime, I played baseball. I love baseball. And I especially love the St. Louis Cardinals. And you know what's got me feeling really nicey? The Cardinals are on a nine-game winning streak! Try that!
Chucky's just shouting here.
Led by manager Ollie Marmol. I mean, try going into the clubhouse when you're 14 and 19 and keeping a positive attitude and turning this ball club into a force.
And this is what he does.
It was 14 and 19. When I left for the trip a couple weeks ago, they were 14 and 19 because I remember looking, thinking, man, if this slips, we talked about it, right? If it slips even further, it's going to be really hard to climb out of this.
Lars Nootbaar, their leadoff hitter. Six home runs, 22 RBIs. He even has a better snap count than most of these clapping quarterbacks.
Yeah.
My favorite player is Nolan Arenado, the man they call Nado.
This is
try to get one past him at the hot corner.
Ridiculous.
He's the best.
Oh, my gosh. And then he was proponent. He was talking about the pitching. We cut that out only because the Cardinals game has been postponed for today. Sonny Gray, I think, was supposed to go for the Redbirds today. Maybe not a bad thing. They get rested up. The bullpen, even a little bit more rest, and that's a good thing. But they're going to have a doubleheader tomorrow. But, yeah, nine in a row. I think the Cubs won last night, didn't they, Ethan?
They did.
So they're still – are we still like a game and a half?
A game back.
A game back. All right. So we maybe make that up tomorrow with the two games. We'll see. There's a potential to be in first place before – the end of the week.
There is, but let's remember, it's May. The standings don't matter in May.
What matters,
the way that the team is playing right now is what matters. And if you keep winning, then you're going to be fine once you get to when it does matter.
To me, what matters is
win a series.
And also they're climbing back, you know, into the 500 mark. Because honestly, I would have bet. Now I'm a poor wagerer anyway. I think that's been well established. But if you asked me 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, hey, do you think the Cardinals will be above 500 by mid-May? I'd have said not a chance in hell. Right. And then we talked about this with Frank yesterday. Let me just address one more thing. I can't wait to go to a baseball game. OK, and I would have gone to a baseball game no matter what the record would be. I have not been to Busch Stadium. Fred's a big baseball fan. I hope the fans kind of decide to turn out here. School's going to be out and there's a reason to support this team. And it kind of sucks to look at Busch Stadium when there's nobody in the stands, too.
Yeah, one of the game. I guess the last one I went to was the rainout on a Saturday
that Gruden was at.
Yeah, right.
Oh, was he there?
He was there. He was supposed to throw out the first pitch, but because it got rained out, he wasn't able.
He was in town for the Blues game.
That's the day that he was hanging out in the clubhouse with all those guys. He was talking about. He talked about the football snap count. Lars Nootbaar played quarterback in high school, and he went through his pre-snap cadence and. and Gruden was picking on him for like the different things that he would
yell. That's amazing.
That's where all that came from. But yeah, Gruden was supposed to be there that day. But it's just fun right now. Let's hope that people, you know, end up, you know, for the next homestand being there. And if the Cardinals are still looking like they're in a good spot here after this series with Philadelphia and then Kansas City, two really good teams, you hope that fans are able to put aside some of their frustrations in recent months, years, and show up for the team that has deserved to have people in the stands.
Well, look, even if you split tomorrow, you win the series, to Fred's point. All right, we're off and running here. We got Selena Zito coming up. We have a Tuesday edition of Sue's News. We'll look back at Kit Bond's career, Olivia Krawchyk, a lot coming up here on a Tuesday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Oh, and Post Malone is in town. We'll talk about that, too. Ethan's going to that show.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
A little posty, as Sue called them there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I like this song a lot. It is a devastatingly accurate song when it comes to alcohol abuse, by the way. It's a very, very serious song, but it's one of my favorites. He's at Busch Stadium tonight, which is kind of amazing. Hey, one of the reasons I love my friend Scott Jennings is because he was the first person actually to text the information about the Pete Rose situation because he's such a big baseball fan. He has a book coming out, but before that, Selena Zito's book is only a few weeks away. Butler, the Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. She's back with us this afternoon. Hi, Selena. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am still trying to recover from some international travel, but other than that, I'm fine. But look, I've been, you know, trying to catch up on some of the news, and one of the things I had to catch up on last week was this whole John Fetterman thing. And I know that I would trust you with the handling of this story probably more than anyone else because you're Pennsylvania-based. We've talked about Fetterman before. The New Yorker comes out with a piece. It seems to me like a bit of a hit piece, but there's former staffers that say that he's a little unstable, et cetera. What's the truth here?
It doesn't feel like a hit piece. It is a hit piece. No one was more critical of Fetterman than me in 2022. And it had everything to do with lack of transparency coming from the same staff that's now throwing him under the bus. And so they're talking about his behavior. Well, it's not really about his behavior. This is who John Fetterman always was before he had a stroke, and who he has regained as his sense of self since coming out of Walter Reed and recovering from depression. The only thing that is different about John Fetterman is for them is that they can't control his message anymore. And he has always been this guy who was never beloved within his own party. They never once endorsed him. He upended a sitting lieutenant governor, a Democrat, in a primary. So he's never been anybody's darling or anybody's guy. He's always been his own guy. But, you know, because the staff has lost control, they've decided to try to get rid of him because he's not pure enough for their party.
Yeah, so these
I spent
are,
two
these are...
hours...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
My most recent Washington Post piece, I spent several hours with him and John and Senator McCormick interviewing him. Back and forth. It was a robust interview and robust debate between the two of them, and I saw no problem at all. And then just last week, Senator McCormick had a book event for me at his home. Senator Fetterman came, not only come, he hung out for 2 hours, talked with everybody, and gave an impromptu speech about the importance of journalism and the work that I do.
But who are the people that are turning on him? These are like, wasn't one of these people a chief of staff to John Fetterman?
Yeah, and he came from the camp. These are the people that were controlled his message when he was running. You know, when he was running, I remember coming on your show and saying, this isn't the guy that I knew. Mm-hmm. He wasn't this far left guy. Right.
Yep.
And but that's because it wasn't his message. It was his chief of staff's message.
So one of the, you know, I saw this because I was trying to catch up. There was a video that apparently went viral of John Fetterman on an airplane and someone shooting this video from behind. And the way that they played it off is that he was refusing to put on his seatbelt. I really couldn't hear the conversation enough, but wasn't that one of the pieces of evidence that they're trying to hit him with right now? And I don't even know what the truth is there.
Once again, this is always who John Fetterman has been. It just has everything to do with Israel. Let's not pretend anything else. John has always been this guy. He's always been this guy. The only time he wasn't himself was when these same staffers controlled him.
Well, and that should tell you a lot right there, right?
Yes.
Does
tells he, you everything.
Does he have people in his world now that are more trustworthy, in your opinion?
I don't know. You know, I have always just directly talked to him. Oh. I have always, I've because his staff was so untransparent during his recovery. They would never let me talk to him. Like they would never give me access. There was no transparency. So we reverted back to our reporter. Elected official relationship once he recovered from his depression.
So he's not for re-election to what, 28, but they're already talking about primarying him, right?
Well, if he decides to run again, and I don't know that he will, I don't think he particularly cares for the job, but I've thought that long before this happened. This is a very DC story. This is not a Pennsylvania story.
Yeah.
And the more they circulate this rumor and this whisper campaign to get rid of him, the more popular he becomes in our state.
Let me cross over to another issue which still has common bonds with the Fetterman issue, just because of the way that the media filters these things. Because Sunday night, I'm sitting around, I'm poking around, and I see this Jonathan Karl piece about the $400 million airplane. And, you know, I said this yesterday, Selena, I don't even know exactly how I feel on that particular topic. I heard what President Trump had said yesterday. He offered a great Sam Snead analogy, which I appreciate. I like to apply some of the same standards I would apply to Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or anything like that. But one of the difficulties I think a lot of us have, whether we're just regular people or even people that are on the radio like me, is we don't know what to believe when it comes to all these things. We don't know what facts are accurate, what facts aren't. Even in that story, there's a pretty good side story there about Boeing being unable to complete the work on Air Force One and their plane. So what is your take on that?
Years.
Yeah, exactly.
They had 10 years. Well, it's embarrassing. We're America. We're supposed to make things, right? Yeah, that's supposed
absolutely.
To be, yeah. You know, I mean, it is my profession, and I struggle with where the truth lies because there's so much opinion weighing and, you know, sort of speculation weighing half the reports that I receive. That, you know, I am speculative of everything that I see, in particular coming from the legacy news organization.
Yeah. Well, I'm currently watching, you know, on a regular basis here, especially today, Jake Tapper try to, with a straight face, talk about his new book and try to make it seem like he was so voracious and trying to get the answers. You know what's flipped on that scenario now? All these folks are blaming the people around the president. They're not blaming themselves for not asking the questions. They're saying, oh, you know, it's not our fault that happened. He was so insulated. The people around him, those are the ones to blame. It's ridiculous.
A lot of blame to go around, in particular the people that were hiding everything. But, you know, I have learned as a reporter that my job really begins as soon as someone tells me no. Because you just dig until you get the answer. That's the and I can attest that the Biden people don't even return phone calls, emails, texts, anything. I mean, they just didn't. But they have much better access than I ever would. That I ever did. There's only so far I could go up the chain, right? But the evidence was right in front of us. And I wrote about it, and I took a lot of crap for it, but I had to write about what was happening, not what I wished was happening.
So what do you think of the comeback tour for Joe and Kamala here the last couple of weeks? Biden in particular, going on The View, good Lord.
They have no self-awareness whatsoever.
None. No self-awareness.
It is a remarkable spectacle to watch because neither does she, and neither do the people that handle them. You know, they're so encased in this hard plastic bubble, they don't understand that people can see through their bubble.
You know,
they think it's opaque.
You know, last week when there was this announcement about the 250th anniversary of the Army and maybe a parade, I was around, I'm not trying to criticize my friends, but I'm around some lefty friends, and the first thing that they point to is, oh, you mean his birthday celebration? As if he was trying to or somehow changed his birthday to match up with the 250th anniversary. I mean, some of us are still proud Americans, but the automatic default on the part of everyone, and this is because of the mainstream media, is to go exactly what might be wrong because of Trump. They'd never do it for anyone else.
That's true. I mean, it is, it's really sad for me. It's one of the last chapter of my book is the death of my profession. And nothing underscored it more than the election of 2024. And I really go into a deep dive about it. And it's, you know, it's sad, you know, because this is something I have loved being, but as I watch it, the Jews that are centered in the sort of cultural elite zip codes, they're doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for the benefit of the reader.
No doubt about that. Hey, on the topic of the book, you know, I mentioned my friend Scott Jennings. He's got a book out in December, and you've emphasized this before. Your book's coming out, but pre-orders, as I have done, pre-orders are important. Explain why that's important as you near publication of Butler, The Untold Story, The Near Assassination of Donald Trump, and The Fight for America's Heartland.
Well, not only is it an incredible book, and I don't usually talk nice about myself, but it really is. There's a campaign book like it, of it like no other, and not just because of what happened in Butler, and not what the conversations that the president had, and what I understood was happening, but as I saw it, and I take readers there on a very granular, personal level, your heart will be racing through most of the book, but. You know, for an author who doesn't live in D.C. or New York, the challenge is, will booksellers put their books on their shelves?
Yeah.
And that means also online, from Amazon to Barnes & Noble to your local bookstore. Well, if you do not have a good presale, they won't do it. And if you don't have, if there aren't books on the shelves, or they haven't ordered enough books, then people can't buy the book.
Right.
And the president has endorsed the book robustly, and I think people will really deeply appreciate it and learn so many new things as they read it.
I can't wait. And just hearing, I didn't realize until just a few minutes ago that you were going to do that chapter on the media. You know as well as I do, that could have been a whole damn book, probably a series of books, right? Maybe it still will be.
It really, and I really get in there. I mean, I'm probably making a lot of enemies. But
good.
I really peel back in a very granular level everything that was wrongly, blatantly wrongly reported. And it's really, it's disturbing, to be honest.
Sad. It's sad because we need a media, even here in St. Louis. We've had some stories here in this week, and you can't count on anything because the resources aren't there, and then the bias is there in particular. Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland, is coming out in a few weeks. Selena, thank you so much. Pre-order the book.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. She's great, and she does such a service to us. She's been on with us for so long, and she's blown up significantly, but she still comes on this show, and I appreciate it deeply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
little posty, as Sue called them there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I like this song a lot. It is a devastatingly accurate song when it comes to alcohol abuse, by the way. It's a very, very serious song, but it's one of my favorites. He's at Busch Stadium tonight, which is kind of amazing. Hey, one of the reasons I love my friend Scott Jennings is because he was the first person actually to text the information about the Pete Rose situation, because he's such a big baseball fan. He has a book coming out, but before that, Selena Zito's book is only a few weeks away. Butler, the Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland. She's back with us this afternoon. Hi, Selena. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am still trying to recover from some international travel, but other than that, I'm fine. But look, I've been, you know, trying to catch up on some of the news, and one of the things I had to catch up on last week was this whole John Fetterman thing. And I know that I would trust you with the handling of this story probably more than anyone else, because you're Pennsylvania-based. We've talked about Fetterman before. The New Yorker comes out with a piece. It seems to me like a bit of a hit piece, but there's former staffers that say that he's a little unstable, et cetera. What's the truth here?
It doesn't feel like a hit piece. It is a hit piece. You know, no one was more critical to Fetterman than me in 2022. And it had everything to do with lack of transparency coming from the same staff that's now throwing him under the bus. And so they're talking about his behavior. Well, it's not really about his behavior. This is who John Fetterman always was before he had a stroke, and who he has regained as his sense of self since coming out of Walter Reed and recovering from depression. Well, the only thing that is different about John Fetterman is, for them, is that they can't control his message anymore. And he has always been this guy who was never beloved within his own party. They never once endorsed him. He upended a sitting lieutenant governor, a Democrat, in a primary. So he's never been anybody's darling or anybody's guy. He's always been his own guy. But, you know, because the staff has lost control, they've decided to try to get rid of him because he's not pure enough for their party.
Yes, yeah, so
I
these
spent
are,
two
these
hours.
Go
oh,
ahead.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
My most recent Washington Post piece, I spent several hours with him and John and Senator McCormick interviewing him. Back and forth. It was a robust interview and robust debate between the two of them, and I saw no problem at all. And then just so last week, Senator McCormick had a book event for me at his home. Senator Fetterman came, not only come, he hung out for 2 hours, talked with everybody, and gave an impromptu speech about the importance of journalism and the work that I do.
But who are the people that are turning on him? These are like, wasn't one of these people a chief of staff to John Fetterman?
Yeah, and he came from the camp. These are the people that were controlled his message when he was running. You know, when he was running, I remember coming on your show and saying, this isn't the guy that I knew. Mm-hmm. He wasn't this far left guy. Right.
Yeah.
And but that's because it wasn't his message. It was his chief of staff's message.
So one of the, you know, I saw this because I was trying to catch up. There was a video that apparently went viral of John Fetterman on an airplane and someone shooting this video from behind. And the way that they played it off is that he was refusing to put on his seatbelt. I really couldn't hear the conversation enough, but wasn't that one of the pieces of evidence that they're trying to hit him with right now? And I don't even know what the truth is there.
Once again, this is always who John Fetterman has been. It just has everything to do with Israel. Let's not pretend anything else. John has always been this guy. He's always been this guy. The only time he wasn't himself was when the same staffers controlled him.
Well, and that should tell you a lot right there, right?
Yes.
Does
tells
he
you everything.
Does he have people in his world now that are more trustworthy, in your opinion?
I don't know. You know, I have always just directly talked to him. Oh. I have always, I've because his staff was so untransparent during his recovery, they would never let me talk to them. Like, they would never give me access. There was no transparency. So we reverted back to our reporter elected official relationship once he recovered from his depression.
So he's not for re-election to what, 28? But they're already talking about primarying him, right?
Well, if he decides to run again, and I don't know that he will, I don't think he particularly cares for the job. But I've thought that long before this happened. This is a very D.C. story. This is not a Pennsylvania story.
Yeah.
And the more they circulate this rumor and this whisper campaign to get rid of him, the more popular he becomes in our state.
Let me cross over to another issue which still has common bonds with the Fetterman issue, just because of the way that the media filters these things. Because Sunday night, I'm sitting around, I'm poking around, and I see this Jonathan Karl piece about the $400 million airplane. And, you know, I said this yesterday, Selena, I don't even know exactly how I feel on that particular topic. I heard what President Trump had said yesterday. He offered a great Sam Snead analogy, which I appreciate. I like to apply some of the same standards I would apply to Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or anything like that. But one of the difficulties I think a lot of us have, whether we're just regular people or even people that are on the radio like me, is we don't know what to believe when it comes to all these things. We don't know what facts are accurate, what facts aren't. Even in that story, there's a pretty good side story there about Boeing being unable to complete the work on Air Force One and their plane. So what is your take on that?
Years.
Yeah, exactly.
They had 10 years. Well, it's embarrassing. We're America. We're supposed to make things. Right.
Yeah,
that's supposed
absolutely.
To be. Yeah. You know, I mean, it is my profession and I struggle with where the truth lies because there's so much opinion weighing and, you know, sort of speculation weighing half the reports that I receive that, you know, I am speculative of everything that I see. In particular, coming from the legacy news organization.
Yeah. Well, I'm currently watching, you know, on a regular basis here, especially today, Jake Tapper try to, with a straight face, talk about his new book and try to make it seem like he was so voracious and trying to get the answers. You know what's flipped on that scenario now? All these folks are blaming the people around the president. They're not blaming themselves for not asking the questions. They're saying, oh, you know, it's not our fault that happened. He was so insulated. The people around him, those are the ones to blame. It's ridiculous.
A lot of blame to go around, in particular the people that were hiding everything. But, you know, I have learned as a reporter that my job really begins as soon as someone tells me no. Because you just dig until you get the answer. I can attest that the Biden people don't even return phone calls, emails, texts, anything. I mean, they just didn't. But they have much better access than I ever would, that I ever did. There's only so far I could go up the chain, right? But the evidence was right in front of us. And I wrote about it, and I took a lot of crap for it. But I had to write about what was happening, not what I wished was happening.
So what do you think of the comeback tour for Joe and Kamala here the last couple of weeks? Biden in particular going on The View. Good Lord.
They have no self-awareness whatsoever.
None. No self-awareness.
It is a remarkable spectacle to watch because neither does she. And neither do the people that handle them. You know, they're so encased in this hard plastic bubble, they don't understand that people can see through their bubble.
You know,
they think it's opaque.
You know, last week when there was this announcement about the 250th anniversary of the Army and maybe a parade, I was around. I'm not trying to criticize my friends, but I'm around some lefty friends. And the first thing that they point to is, oh, that's you mean his birthday celebration, as if he was trying to or somehow changed his birthday to match up with the 250th anniversary. I mean, some of us are still proud Americans. But the automatic default on the part of everyone, and this is because of the mainstream media, is to go exactly what might be wrong because of Trump. They'd never do it for anyone else.
That's true. I mean, it is, it's really sad for me. It's one of the last chapter of my book is the death of my profession. And nothing underscored it more than the election of 2024. And I really go into a deep dive about it. And it's sad, because this is something I have loved being, but as I watch it, the Jews that are centered in the sort of cultural elite zip codes, they're doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for the benefit of the reader.
No doubt about that. Hey, on the topic of the book, I mentioned my friend Scott Jennings. He's got a book out in December, and you've emphasized this before. Your book's coming out, but pre-orders, as I have done, pre-orders are important. Explain why that's important as you near publication of Butler, The Untold Story, The Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland.
Well, not only is it an incredible book, and I don't usually talk nice about myself, it really is. There's a campaign book like it, of it, like no other, and not just because of what happened in Butler, not what the conversations that the president had, and what I understood was happening, but as I saw it, and I take readers there on a very granular, personal level. Your heart will be racing through most of the book. But for an author who doesn't live in D.C. or New York, the challenge is, will booksellers put their books on their shelves?
Yeah.
And that means also online, from Amazon to Barnes & Noble to your local bookstore. Well, if you do not have a good presale, they won't do it. And if you don't have, if there aren't books on the shelves, or they haven't ordered enough books, then people can't buy the book.
Right.
And the president has endorsed the book robustly, and I think people will really deeply appreciate it and learn so many new things as they read it.
I can't wait. And I didn't realize until just a few minutes ago that you were going to do that chapter on the media. You know as well as I do, that could have been a whole damn book, probably a series of books, right? Maybe it will be.
I really get in there. I mean, I'm probably making a lot of enemies. But
good.
I really peel back in a very granular level everything that was blatantly wrongly reported. And it's really disturbing, to be honest.
Sad. It's sad because we need a media. Even here in St. Louis, we've had some stories here in this week, and you can't count on anything because the resources aren't there, and then the bias is there in particular. Butler, The Untold Story of the Near Assassination of Donald Trump and the Fight for America's Heartland is coming out in a few weeks. Selena, thank you so much. Pre-order the book.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. She's great, and she does such a service to us. She's been on with us for so long, and she's blown up significantly, but she still comes on this show, and I appreciate it deeply.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.